Upcoming, more conversation with Fred Reinhart from Reinhart Carpet Outlet in Philadelphia. One of the recent times we talked, you were doing a commercial job. I think you were sort of out there guarding the company vehicle, so I guess the police didn't impound it. That was an exciting conversation, as I can recall. But you were doing a commercial job, as I mentioned. Talk about the company's commercial business and what kind of business that is, and how aggressive do you go out and look for these commercial jobs?
The commercial work that is out there is horrifically competitive. It is impressive, and I think to the detriment of our industry, that too many people are willing to give away to large work at low volumes, at low margins. One thing I can't stand doing, David, is working for free or working for very little money. And in fact, having been counseled by some really fine financial advisors in our industry and out of our industry, at some point you got to know when to punt. You know, in football, in fourth down, it doesn't pay to try again for a first down. In fact, it's fraught with all kinds of danger. It's the same thing in business. If you're hell-bent on wanting to get work just to keep people busy and just to have something coming in the door instead of rechanneling your energy to find other opportunities to bring business in through your door, well, you live by the sword and you die by the sword that way, David. And we're not of the temperament. I am not of the temperament to want to pursue the work at any cost, number one. Number two, since the larger type commercial activity generally falls under my purview now, I can tell you that customers are much more careful about engaging in product search, vendor search, and then details of jobs, and we haven't even talked about pricing of jobs. There's no shortage of people willing to bid work. It is he or she who is best at recognizing the details and properly matching customer expectations with vendor abilities to satisfy and meet those expectations. They're the ones that will have successful selling opportunities. That's what we try to be, David. That's kind of like a guiding creed from where I sit. And we're growing faster on the residential side because Shane has got his fingers and senses the pulse with hot products in the right areas for the people that are best intended to receive the kinds of products that the factories are making. And we're big with Mohawk and we're big with Shaw. Mohawk, we color center through our Havertown Carpet Company operation. And with Shaw, we're Shaw Flooring Network aligned through our Germantown-based operation. And soon when we open up our Montgomery County location and our design center showroom concept, we'll be a mixed bag of better goods to anybody that we can service that has a genuine need for products. Mm-hmm. And these are exciting days for us, David.
Interesting. Where is the new location going to be in Montgomery County?
Hatboro section.
Oh, yeah.
Not far from Willow Grove. It's northern Montgomery County. So if you look at a road map in Philadelphia, we're pretty much going to have north of the city, in the city, and then southwest of the city. It's pretty much a straight line the way the geography lays out. And those familiar with Philadelphia, we're going to be above the Turnpike Divide and below the Turnpike Divide, and we generally don't do very much on the other side of the river, meaning into New Jersey.
Yeah,
our skewed marketing target, our geofences and our targeted areas generally go from the Delaware River, from Bucks County down into the state of Delaware line, and then west towards west of King of Prussia, out towards West Chester, and then northern into up the Turnpike Road towards northern Montgomery County, a little bit of Berks, a little bit of Lancaster County. But our bread and butter is still a 30-mile circle, almost a full circle, a three-quarter circle, actually, about the city of Philadelphia and its surrounding suburbs.
I've got you. Now, you had mentioned earlier some changes that really was the result of your succession plan and Shane becoming your partner. And I think that one of those, and I think you mentioned this earlier, was using industry-specific software. And you mentioned that earlier, and you also, well, I guess the other one was the opening of new branches. Talk about the software and how those changes have happened, and what that has meant for inner workings in the company.
Shane would be better to address those issues than I, because he's more intimate with it, and of the age, of the digital age. But I can tell you that between Shane Barry and our controller, Arnold Cohen, I can tell you that with great pride, they have, at a moment's notice, answers the questions that we used to say, I don't know, we'll have to check that one out and get back to you on it. What'd you sell today? What was margin this week? What's that salesperson doing? How many dollars, and are we properly paying our invoices, and how many dollars of discounts are we earning with specificity? Give us a track record on the overhead issues as it relates to utilities, insurances. Where are these trends going? What is it that we have to be on the lookout for to better head off at the pass? Challenges that the issues before us create for us. So the computer kind of puts on the steroids your ability to be proactive and less reactive to challenges with the day-to-day operation of the business. And then the biggest challenge of all is, and remember this with any computer operation system anybody gets involved with, garbage in is garbage out. So if it ain't going in the system right, it ain't coming out the system right. So it's a constant, for us, a constant effort to maintain the integrity of the information, which means we got to make our deals with precisions, whether they be deals with vendors, deals with employees, deals with insurer carriers, deals with trucking companies, whatever it is. And we've got to be able to be quickly accountable for the consequences of our actions, David. And computerization and the jump into the system has been all that we've hoped it would be, complete with all the challenges that come with being involved with cloud-based equipment and in the dynamic and an economic dynamic that we're in today, especially with the tariffs.
Interesting. Now, the installation shortage, everybody's talking about it. I think it's affected most retailers in the United States. How has it affected Reinhart Carpet Outlet?
In a growing business, and especially since we've gone into hard surface, yep, we're short on installers, and we could use more. And we've done more of an effort to try and groom and develop our own. And towards that end, our mix of labor now is probably, it used to be about 100% subcontract. I would say now it's we're not 100% subcontract anymore. We're a lot less as a percentage that are subcontracting, and more are we investing our effort, energy, and resources and in developing our own soft surface as well as hard surface crews.
I see. You mean people on the payroll?
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk about the shift, and again, you've been using subs for forever, haven't you?
Well, when I first came into the family business, we were a union shop. In fact, we were participants in three collective bargaining agreements. We had drivers, we had carpenters, and we had floor covering layers. And in Philadelphia, floor covering layers are part of the carpenters union. We gave all that up many decades ago because I just didn't see my future in the floor covering business being tied into any kind of union obligations. Today, the emphasis on installer-type talent and then the allied costs associated with it, Shane's made a clear and convincing argument that the more and more we can have on our payroll properly managed, the more profitable it will be for our company.
Mm-hmm. How about training? I mean, do you invest in training in these guys?
We have been. When I was the guy in the driver's seat and captain of the boat, we did more sales, relied more on vendors to help educate us from the selling side, and we just counted on the installers knowing what the heck they were supposed to be doing properly. Now Shane makes it his business to get us and our people informed and up to date and maintaining up to date status on what's happening with the products, adhesives, techniques, tactics, and trends.
So that's expensive, is it not?
Yes, sir.
I gotcha. Now that's a dramatic change. Let me just ask you if over the last year have you lost business because you didn't have sufficient talent to install?
Yes, and primarily on the commercial side. In order to be able to handle larger jobs and maintain margins, you need either the ability to put your own crews out there and then thus be able to create the proper valuations for your labor productivity. With subcontract labor on big commercial work, that's hard to do. It's really hard to do. After all, the subs are bearing all the risk. I shouldn't say all the risk, but the subs are bearing a lot of the risk and the overhead that goes with it. And the challenges in being able to manage the daily yin and yang of commercial work require that if you're not geared up and oriented for it, you just ain't going to get it, certainly at the prices that you want to get the jobs at the margins you want to get the job at. So we continue to try and build on the residential opportunities, or what we'll call Main Street commercial, mm-hmm. the kind of jobs where people will walk into your store, call you on the phone and say, hey, I need a room of this. Hey, I need a floor of that. As opposed to universities calling and saying, hey, we need your bid for 22 floors of a beautiful medical center with specified flooring, et cetera, et cetera. So knowing with more certainty and developing the comfort level of dealing with categories of clientele, that's been part of our growth curve and learning curve. And it's frustrating when I see that we have the smarts to do it. I even see that we have the ability to buy the goods at the right prices, but to be able to produce the goods at the right prices and stand behind it during and after the fact, that's a challenge, and that's what separates the big boys from the guys that aren't the big boys, mm-hmm. that are in our industry across the nation.
Can I assume that most of the employee installers are on the commercial side? And I'm wondering, what's the percentage on the residential side?
Well, with us, you'd be assuming wrong. We're finding that the residential side seems to be more compatible with the homegrown development of talent that we've been pursuing. And it's on the commercial side where you're gearing up to the bigger, loftier expectations for being able to meet the larger size needs of those commercial opportunities. That's where we haven't achieved yet, I guess, the economy of scale or the critical mass necessary to have grown the labor force to be able to then pool our guys and put a 8-man team together for 10, 12, 30 days to be able to go after the stuff which we're getting the opportunities to look, see, and bid at, but with all reality, until we have either the right blend of either in-house talent or the right costs associated with the contractors who specialize in that kind of work, and yes, there's a shortage of those kinds of contractors, hence that keeps the value of those, the supply and demand laws kick in, and you know, those guys can get more bucks for the unit prices that we need to be in order to succeed and capture those kinds of work opportunities.
You've been listening to a conversation featuring Fred Reinhart from Reinhart Carpet Outlet in Philadelphia. We'll have more of this conversation this coming Thursday. This is Law Radio.